Have you ever been at a place and a time where you know that you know that you know God is speaking to you? The last few months for me have been pretty strong and powerful because in my quiet times with the Lord, I feel like I'm hearing directly from God. And then something happens, usually on Sunday or throughout the week, while I run into different people, either Mondays or Wednesday nights at the House of Prayer or here on Sundays or with James and Pam or something will happen. And everything that I feel the Lord is speaking to me on gets confirmed by things people say to you. It's a humbling place when things that God is telling you is confirmed by other folks, because you know that you know that you know you are hearing from God. And so this week in my private quiet time, as I was praying and reflecting about the message this week, the Lord wanted me to tell you, he said, tell them and remind them they need to spend time with me. And I said, Lord, what do you mean by spend time with you? He said, the world is twisted, flipped, shaken. He said, sometimes they forget that I'm right there with them. Sometimes they're forgetting how to seek me in their times of need. And so I started thinking about time. And what that meant, and time management, and what that meant. So I started looking at some notes, and I figured, well, how do we spend our time? And what do we do when we spend our time? We all have 24 hours in one day. No more, no less. No one tells you what to do in those 24 hours. You get to choose how you spend your time. Sorry. However, your schedule a lot of times reveals your priorities. So I started looking at, I was kind of curious, what are typical individuals' priorities? So I started looking at the hours that the average person who is probably employed between 25 and age 54 with a family. So I figured, well, I'll just look at that age group just to give me a general look. So I found that the working and work-related activities, we spend 8.8 hours of our day in those areas. 7.6 hours sleeping, our leisure time, which is sports, gaming, online, or texting, is 2.5 hours. Other is TV or reading, family and friends, 1.7 hours, 1.2 hours caring for others, 1.1 hours eating and drinking, 1.1 hour doing household activities, averaging 24 hours. When I looked at that list, and this was the national average that I got off of some government website, the interesting thing to me was I said, where's God? I looked at the list and I went, at least if you're coming to church on Sunday, you could get another hour in there somewhere that you're taking and putting at least 1 hour of God in your week. Not even a day. This is 24 hours a day. I was looking at, a lot of folks can't even fit them in a week. And yet the interesting thing is 80% of the people in the country believe in God or that there is a God. But I'm looking here and I'm going, ain't nobody spending time with God. And I thought, wow, boy, does that sum up a whole lot of issues that we have in our country. Yes, God, we know you, we see you, we love you, we're there, praise you, but I really ain't got time. So maybe we should examine some of our schedules. All y'all are here. So on your schedules, you got God time at least on Sunday. And I hope it's more than that, but at least you got that on Sunday in your schedule. Many of us tend to schedule our priorities around our life. However, we need to schedule our life around our priorities. So what should be our priorities? As Christians, what should be our priorities? Well, so then I started looking at that. I started really thinking about that. I started really praying about that. I was, turn with me to Matthew 6, 33. The Word of God always puts the answers out there for us. Amen. The answer, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these will be given to you as well. So one of the things that should be in our priorities is seeking first the kingdom of God and then seeking his righteousness. Out of the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment God gave us was, you shall have no other gods before me. So if we're really paying attention, if we're really looking at what our priorities ought to be, seek God, seek righteousness, and have no other gods before him. Basic priorities. And they're right there. Is that not what your word says? That's what the word says. And we believe the word of God, right? All right. Well, Bible's very clear to me. I interpret that as God should be our number one, our most important priority, because that's what the word says in multiple different ways. In Exodus 20, 3 through 5, God gives the Israelites this command. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. Can't get any more clear than that, right? It's easy to label an idol as some wooden or bronze statue or some golden cow or something that somebody built and did. And, you know, however that such things, we understand how they can be idols. However, idols are much more than that. An idol is anything that you put in front of God. Idolatry is to love what has been made more than the God who made it. So let me say that again, because that's deep. An idol is something that you put in front of God. Idolatry is to love what has been made more than the God who made it. For example, money and status. These are some things that we often place ahead of God, in front of a jealous God. He demands first place in your life. Therefore, take to heart the instructions that are found in 1 John 5:21. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. John 15. The word says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because you are in the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The line that stands out to me is, no branch can bear fruit by itself. This piece, it must remain in the vine. It must be connected to life. It must have that connection in order to have anything. Jesus talks about pruning off the things that produce no fruit. That is, he tells us to cut off anything that does not have any meaningful or eternal value. which means that we are to get rid of anything that doesn't further our relationship with God. I am a jealous God. Isn't that what he said? God does not want to be number 10 on your list of top 10 priorities. In fact, God doesn't even want to be number 1 on your list of 10. He wants to be number 1 on your list of number 1. You should spend, you could spend or waste much of your time doing meaningless things, or you could invest your time in order to achieve maximal eternal impact. When you seek God as the only thing that you need, he will take care of everything else. I believe that. I believe he will take care of everything else when you seek him with all that you have. In fact, in Matthew 6, again, what did it say? 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. That's what his word says, and I believe that. I believe the word. We believe the word, right? Amen. All right, just checking. In Luke 10:38-42, we learn the story of Mary and Martha. And the verse reads as this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where Martha opened her home to him. Her sister Mary loved to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Let me stop there. First of all, would any of y'all ever go to the Lord like that? I know I wouldn't. If the Lord was sitting at right here and I went, most of us, if someone came to us that way, we probably would have snapped on them. And realistically, he had the right to probably snap on him. Be like, hell, do you know who I am? How are you going to come to me like that? Just no. But he did what he does. And he looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but the only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What did she choose? She chose to be in his presence. She chose to seek him. She chose to sit at his feet and just listen. Boy, that's strong. See, that's what it's meant to seek the meaningful, eternal thing, God. Martha needed to prune her life from the distractions or the disruptions, and she needed to get her priorities straight. She was more worried about the things that she thought she needed to do in order to serve. What might be some of the practical things that we can do to cut the junk out of our lives so we can focus on knowing God better? Well, I'm going to give you 5 things that we can do to cut the junk out of our lives so we can serve God better. Number one, we've been talking about this already. Seek him and know his word and his truth. Seek him and know his word and his truth. See, it's the junk in our lives that tend to keep us from following Jesus' call. Did you know that? A lot of times it's all the stuff that we have. Oh, I can't do this. I can't lead this care group. I can't do worship. I can't be on the team. It's the junk in our lives that calls us to keep from answering that call. So let's talk about seeking him. 1 Chronicles 28. And you, my son of Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So, seeking him is a part of the first thing we need to do. The second part of the first thing is knowing his word. 1 John 25 talks about this. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. And his truth, Psalms 25:5 says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Amen. Guide me, teach me, lead me, direct me, Lord. Guide me in your truth. Number two, clear your mind of unhealthy or ungodly fleshly thoughts. So how do we do that? Well, let's see what it says in Luke 9:59. To another, Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And we're going to come back to that. Each of these two men had junk in their lives that they need to get rid of. And that they needed to be stripped away of these things that were keeping them from following or answering the call. The first one was a matter of priority for what he wanted to put ahead of Jesus' call. He was waiting until his father died and the estate was settled before he followed Jesus. He was saying, Lord, if this happens, then I will follow you. Have any of you ever put any of those if-then statements to God? If, Lord, I have a car, I can get to church on time. If, Lord, I have a better job, I can do this. If, Lord, I have a new job, or I can be able to do this. If, Lord, if you just have this person whom I love me back, then I will be able to be like right there and serve you. If, Lord, if then, if then, if then, if then, if then. Not saying that any of you have ever done that, just saying. The second person had a matter of focus issues. He wasn't truly ready to follow Jesus because he kept going back to attempt to settle more of his affairs before he left. I want to go talk to family and do these other things. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. What do we sing today? The world behind me, the cross before me. He was letting us know that stuff way back then. Put the world behind you. With your hand on the plow, move forward and leave all the garbage behind you. I'm here. Seek me. Come to me. Jesus was proclaiming that the true discipleship requires instant action. And Jesus didn't teach people to forsake responsibilities or family, but he often gave commands to his people in light of their real motives. There's a cost to following Jesus, and each of us must be ready to serve even when it requires a sacrifice. Number three, do not confuse what is critical for what is urgent. Many of the things that we think are urgent are not critical. Some of these non-critical things divert our focus from those things that are really critical but not urgent. What are some of those things? What are the things that all of us have issues with? Time. management. Time. That's what we've been talking about, spending time with God and those pressures of time that creep up on us. Don't allow time pressures to put junk in your way of serving and answering your call. In Titus 3:14, it says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Well, let me explain a little bit. These letters, these letters of Paul to Titus and Timothy were his last writings, you know, of his ministry. And with this, these letters gain information to the church leadership, to the deacons, to the pastors, and to the Christians. And it's valuable information teaching us how we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live. Through these letters, we learn how to properly develop and raise up younger leaders to carry on the church. Being productive and being wise and how we're supposed to live our lives while we're here. That's what these letters were all about. And where it's important for us to pay attention to these teachings of Paul and what he was trying to get through, because we want to make sure that we're understanding what is critical versus what is urgent, how we're supposed to develop ourselves, how we're supposed to develop others, how we're supposed to disciple others, how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to carry ourselves. And then he talks more about carrying ourselves. But I'm going to move on before I come back to that. Number four, one that's very important. We've talked about this already this morning, even when we were praying this morning. Rest. Cut down on daily distractions and disruptions. Remember Martha being all distracted? The Lord was right there. Presence was right there. She was too distracted with everything else. She couldn't even sit at his feet and just rest and listen in his presence. One of the biggest challenges that we all face is fatigue. Tired. Being tired. For many of us, this is a physical exhaustion. And for others, it's not just the physical exhaustion. We go through what is an emotional exhaustion. Because we're all products of our environment, a lot of times we are worn down by our environments. In Exodus 16:23, Moses said, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is the day of the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So take what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and save what is ever left and keep it until morning. Now, prior to this day specifically, Moses was telling the people to take what they needed, but not anything else. He was telling them not to save anything for the next day. But on the day of the Sabbath, he told them just differently. He said, take what you want to take, bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and save whatever's left and keep it until morning. Only on the sixth day, God gave the Israelites bread for 2 days. See, before, when the people didn't listen to Moses, their food spoiled and rotten, and it was filled with maggots and all kinds of nastiness when they weren't listening to what he was trying to say. So then the Lord turns to Moses and says, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? See, what stood out to me is I recognized it was the Lord who gave us the Sabbath. He gave it to us in a command and said, this is not a negotiable thing. I know you need this, and I'm telling you to do this. And if you don't do it my way and you do it your way, things are going to be taken away from you. This food that you're trying to hoard and hold on to for yourselves and not trusting in me, it's going to spoil and be rotten. So the people then, on the seventh day, the people rested on that seventh day. There were two lessons that stood out to me. One, the lesson was that God knows that we need to rest. And that's important. He knows that we need to rest. And the second thing that stood out to me was through him, all of our needs are provided for. We just have to trust him. All our needs are provided for. You know, it stood the people trying to get a little extra or a little more and hold on to it to the next day. That reminded me of a whole lot of stuff about where we live. People trying to get a little extra, a little something else, you know. And I stood out and I was like, Lord, minister to our hearts and our and let us just learn to trust in you and let all the other stuff go. We don't need to try to get over, get ahead, get extra, get all this stuff. We just need you and trust that you're going to take care of stuff. Number five. Develop better habits. We all want to set good priorities, but typically we tend to follow our old habits. Whatever our old habits are, that's what we fall back into. Well, you have the mindset and the intention to go one route and go the right way and to do these things, but we tend to revert back to whatever our habits are. If I worship, read, and pray, then I'll be a good Christian every day. What do we gain by setting good habits? Just by simply being in your presence, all non-Christians should be able to tell that you spent time in his presence. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. I'm going to make sure I get this right. Just by simply being in your presence, all non-Christians should be able to tell that you have spent time in God's presence. In Acts 4, Peter and John are brought to the rulers and the elders of the people, and they're brought there to be questioned by them. But when Peter and John came to those people who were Jews, they were astonished by Peter and John. And they took note that these men, they could tell they had been with Jesus. If you turn to 4:13 in Acts, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. In other words, the Jews could tell that Peter and John had spent time with Jesus simply by the way they lived and how they carried themselves. Simply by the way they lived and how they carried themselves. Boy, isn't that how we're supposed to be? We're Christians. We're supposed to live a certain way and carry ourselves a certain way. And everyone else is supposed to know that we spent time with the Lord and should be able to tell by how we live and how we carry ourselves. Jesus had changed their lives so much to the point that an aroma of God had poured out of them. Having that aroma requires being like Christ. And the only way that we can become Christ-like is if we abide and dwell in God's presence. And doing that requires a conscious decision. We have to choose we want to be in his presence. We want to choose that we want to be more Christ-like. We have to choose that we want to walk and talk and act and be just like Christ. So his aroma can pour out on us and onto others. You must decide to practice to be in his presence. Also, by being in God's presence, we will bear good spiritual fruit. In John 15:5, Jesus promises, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. In other words, by spending time with God, you will develop valuable spiritual fruit. See, the world then will see your fruit and recognize that you've been with Jesus. And that's powerful. That is powerful. By spending time and seeking God and being in God's presence, you will experience an increase in your joy. You will experience an increase in your contentment. You will experience an increase in your peace and satisfaction. David told the Lord in Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness and joy. God will pour joy into your life when you choose to spend time in his presence. Then you can take that joy and show it to everyone else around you. We sing, Lord, I will seek you and I will follow you. I choose to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. There are great changes that can occur when we spend time with God. Great, powerful changes when we choose to spend that time with God. In God's presence is the only place where you can become more like Christ. Once God has changed you, the world will be astonished. Whew, and see that you've been with Jesus, just like Peter and John. So what have we learned? Well, God wants to be number one on the list of one. And if you're not choosing to spend regular time with God, then you are choosing to die spiritually. Now, many people, if they can help it, would not choose to go hungry. Yet many people, without even knowing it, are choosing every day to starve themselves spiritually. If you only ate one food for a week, eventually you would die of starvation and malnutrition. Here's the thing. Christians, a lot of times, do exactly that with their spiritual lives. We talked about the time. We just saw what average folks did at the beginning with how they spend their time. They don't even put an hour a week in for God. Some folks don't even go to church because they don't have time. They can't make the time to put God in their schedule. I love you, Lord, but I don't have time. I need you, Lord, but you're not my priority right now. I need to take care of this, 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 and this. My hand is on the plow, but I'm going to push like this. John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It's no wonder that Jesus called himself the bread of life. And in order to grow spiritually, you must feed on spiritual food, which is the word of God. Let me say that again. In order to grow spiritually, you must feed on the Word of God. And that's powerful. It's powerful. He is the bread of life. We don't go hungry. We don't go thirsty when we feed on His Word. When you regularly spend time with God, praying, seeking Him, and studying His Word, you will thrive spiritually. Psalms 105:4 says, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. That's how we're supposed to be spending our time. Those are the priorities we're supposed to put in place. Worship team, come on up. You can spend your time, waste your time, or invest your time. It's your choice. Make time with God a priority in your life. And that's really, we make it so difficult. And it's not that difficult. Some folks say, you know, reading our Bible sometimes and just... You know, it's amazing to me how many people don't spend even 5, 10, 15 minutes in God's Word. What do we learn? He is a jealous God. He wants us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to sit at His feet and listen, just like Mary. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the things all around us and in the world and the distractions of the world. He does not want those things. He's saying, my children, I just want to spend time with you. And I just want you to spend time with me. Make me your priority. Put me first, and everything else will fall into place. Amen.